My name's Casey. My son says honk for trans joy, and I live in Emeryville, but just wanted to come out here. I have lived in Moronga for about a year and have friends out here, and we saw just, you know, hate and fear-mongering, like, more than misinformation, and we just wanted to counter that and let the kids know, like, hey, you have support. It's not just people out here trying to scare you and trying to make you feel less than.
Casey is a trans-identifying 26-year-old who's a professional landscaper and Uber driver who got up at sunrise and braved the Caldecott Tunnel traffic before school to stand in solidarity with children in anticipation of Transgender Day of Visibility, which this year falls on March 31st, the same day as Easter. As Casey stands holding his sign that says honk for trans joy, his partner stands nearby with a crossing sign.
So my name is Elisa Solis. I live in Oakland. My sign says protect trans youth. My partner and I just came out here to make sure that the kids from the community know that the signs that the woman over there has don't represent their community.
The signs they're referring to are those that are organized by a community member named Lisa Disbro, who each year organizes an anti-trans signage campaign as the school district acknowledges Trans Visibility Day by displaying the flag.
Our roommate is from the area, and they told us about those signs, and they said, hey, let's go counter-protest her signs, and so we did.
Is she out today?
Yes, yeah, she's right there with all those purple signs.
Purple signs.
With, like, total misinformation on them. So.
And why is it important for people across the East Bay and beyond to bond together around this issue? Like, you got up early and came to Lafayette from Oakland.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's for the kids, because, like, they read everything, you know? If they see a sign that is against their identity, they're gonna internalize that. It might delay their coming out process, for example. At the end of the day, her signs make people want to hurt themselves. Our signs do not. You know, our signs would affirm someone's feelings, while hers make them question them and wonder if they're in the wrong.
On the topic of being made to feel wrong or made to feel like one does not belong for having a gender identity that does not align with their gender expression or the gender they were born into, Casey reflected on his own story that started when he was a school-aged child.
I definitely knew that I was very different around, like, probably 7 or 8. I didn't have language for it, and yeah, it was really difficult. I went through a journey for years of thinking, like, am I a lesbian? Am I this? Am I that? Am I, what's wrong with me? I grew up pretty religious as well, and it was just a battle all the time.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, yeah. So you grew up in kind of the Bible Belt.
Absolutely. And my family was Baptist, and I was raised Baptist, and I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of family. I don't have a relationship with my dad anymore. But, you know, my mom really realized, like, hey, love is strong, and it goes, you know, no matter what. And she believes in God, but believes, you know, overall that God wants her to love her child. And so she came around, and luckily we have a great relationship now. It was strained for many years, and yeah, it was hard. But
when did you actually discover, like, oh, okay, you know, you went through the childhood, like, am I this, am I that? When did you find kind of the resources or what you needed to become, to begin your transition and all of that?
So I was identifying as a lesbian probably from age 15 until around 20, 21, and that's when I was like, this doesn't really sum up who I am or feel right. And I started having a lot more experience with the trans community and being like, wait, I think this might fit me more. And I even remember sometimes when I was younger, I had one or two people we knew that were trans at my school, and I was like, that can't be it. That can't be me. But it did. It felt right inside, and I was so afraid of that I was like, nope, can't be trans, can't be trans. And I spent seriously years
internalized transphobia,
telling
my, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And telling myself, like, you can't be that. Like, that's too much. That's too far. But it wasn't. It was just who I am. And I let the world make me think that if I lived in that truth, that I would be too queer for people to accept, maybe too different to be accepted. But around 21, I was like, screw it, this is me. I'm just gonna put it out there and live it. And I just kind of started telling people, like, hey, I'm trans. It just is what it is.
And how does that feel to speak your truth?
Amazing.
That kind of way?
Yeah. Amazing.
Is
yeah.
it like a weight lifted off your shoulder?
Yeah. At first, I was really nervous. I was like, people aren't going to react well. And then I started getting so much love poured in, and it felt really freeing, really relieving. Started going to therapy. It took years of therapy, like almost two, before they would let me start hormones.
Which is in part why Casey found some of the signs of the anti-trans protesters to be upsetting.
It's not just, you want hormones? Here's hormones. It's like, we need to make sure you're really feeling gender dysphoria, that you've felt gender dysphoria for a long time, and it's not just something that's coming and going. It's not a fleeting feeling.
Not a fleeting thought.
Yeah, it's like, you're really want this. This is who you are. And then, you know, the medicine started, and then I had to be on testosterone for over a year before they would even consider giving me top surgery. And luckily last year I was able to get top surgery, and it's just been the most freeing experience.
In terms of the signs with messages like natural bodies are healthy bodies, or hormones do not fix depression, or the protesters that suggest that cisgendered boys and girls are harmed by the acknowledgement of trans-identifying people, Casey has some advice.
Honestly, just like read more and check your sources. If your source is from some extreme like right-wing source, or sometimes in some cases even extreme left-wing sources, like just don't go to the extremes. Try to find something that's worth reading, and the more information you can gather, the better it'll be. And don't just talk to people who take your side or agree with you or know what you know. Listen to everyone. Because these things that she's saying aren't true, you know, you need to not just read signs, but look up the information that you're reading off the signs, not just take people's word for things, but, you know, put in your own work to train your mind. And just think about, the main thing when we stand out here that I feel from this is her signs and what she has to say and her message harm people. The things that she's saying causes people to become afraid, causes people to mistrust. Our signs and what we're saying don't. It's just a message of love.
And from Casey's perspective, if you love people, you don't have time to judge them.
We're not telling you that you're wrong. We're not telling you you're right even. It's just, we love you no matter what. Whatever is true for you is, as long as you're not hurting someone, you know, we love you. We're here and we support you.
And do you now feel unscathed when you see somebody holding up or putting up messaging like this, or does it impact you at all?
It makes me really angry. The first day out here, I had a whole hour of just arguing with this woman spreading these lies, because, you know, mental health did, like, hormone was mental health care for me. When I got on hormones, it changed my life.
Were you facing depression?
Yeah, I spent between ages like 12 and 19, I went to the mental inpatient hospital about six times. I tried to take my life several times. I didn't feel right. And literally getting on hormones stopped those feelings. Like, I'm not saying it's a fix-all or a cure-all, but it definitely, you know, it actually changes things. When you feel more aligned in your mind and in your body, you don't want to do things like take your own life. And to see her say, you know, that mental health care doesn't include hormones is insane. To hear her say things like minors are getting mastectomies and that's just not true, that's insane. It makes me very angry.
Casey wishes to put it on the record that he is not an anomaly, and that he was required to undergo mental health care and get therapy along with recommendation letters before beginning hormones. In terms of a public service announcement to the community, Casey says it's really simple.
Love your kids.
Along with the sea of supporters for children of all identities were three doctors holding signs which said, "Doctors support all kids."
My name is Dr. Naomi Brecken. My sign says, "Doctors supporting all kids." And I am here, so I work just a couple blocks down. I kids in Elliott's across the street, and I saw these very harmful signs that are inaccurate and also, I think, very harmful for kids to see. And so I wanted to come out and support our community. And so I actually was walking past to go get coffee, and I met Casey and I cut a couple of the other counter protesters here to support. And I said, "How can I help?" And I requested the sign, and they made it, and here we are. What
type of a doctor are you?
I'm a family medicine physician.
In this community?
Yeah.
And so presumably you might, some of your patients might go to school here.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely.
And yeah. Why do you think that, why is it harmful to have this kind of messaging in front of their school? Why should we care?
The first reason is that we want to make sure that we support whoever our kids are and make sure that we have our kids feel the freedom to become whoever they ultimately will be without this type of really negative judgment. And all of these signs, as you can see, are very negative. They also talk about disease and suicide and things that are not appropriate for kindergarten level or first graders, as is my daughter. So these are, you know, obviously speaking about, you know, the trans community, the LGBTQA community, all these communities are important, but this is not the way to have a healthy conversation about it. So I think it's really important for us to come out and just really show positivity. And the reason that I love the group here today is we're very positive. The message is lots of hearts and rainbows, and just so we can start these conversations with our kids in a healthy way.
Did you say you have a daughter?
Yeah, first grader.
At LES?
Yes.
One of the things that's out here, and one of the trans-identifying people challenged, was that hormone therapy is not the cure for depression. And so, of course, nothing single-handedly is a cure for depression, but the person who identifies as trans says, absolutely, for me, it was, because it... So what's your take as a medical doctor?
So I think hormone therapy is important for both the trans and cis community. So what's overlooked is that actually hormone therapy has been used for years in people who identify as women post-menopausal. They are on estrogen. Men who often have low testosterone, who identify as men, cis men, are on testosterone, and that helps them with their depression. And so thereby, the trans community also, especially if you feel like you need to transition, absolutely will help with mental health, both in both the cis and the trans community. Hormone therapy, when used appropriately, is absolutely correct. Now, the other problem is that no one is going to be doing hormone therapy on a kindergarten or first grader, which is also why it's just this is not the appropriate setting for a number of reasons, but hormone therapy in both the cis and trans community is very useful when used correctly.
Cool. Any other misinformation you'd like to clarify while you're out here? I mean, it says no child can consent to be sterilized. That's actually true.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of good, there's a lot of buzzwords here
don't trans the gay away. What is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, mental health care, not hormones. And so I also heard from the person, the trans-identifying person, that they went through 2 years of mental health care before accessing.
Absolutely. So I think the important thing is that any physician who especially is doing hormone therapy, of course the mental health provider is going to be deeply involved in this, and it's always important to have, with any depression or anybody in the cis or trans community, to have therapy, psychologists, all of this involved when you start any medication, whether it be hormones or an SSRI, whatever that is.
You're listening to the Weekend Evening News on KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley, and online at kpfa.org. I'm Sharon Sabota.
My name is Mira Srinivasan, and I'm out here because I believe that our children should have, this is a family issue, and families should have the freedom to make decisions on their own without any kind of interference from outside voices. And so maybe it's a counter argument to these signs that children should be free to be whoever they want, express whoever they are, and it's a family decision to decide how they want to do that. And it's not up to anyone else outside of that. Just like a family would decide what religion they would want to practice, the same goes for everything else.
And your sign says?
My sign says, doctors supporting all kids. And that's why I'm out here, because children shouldn't be afraid to be who they want to be, and they shouldn't be influenced by fear of other people. I would want my child to feel as free as she can to make decisions about who she is or who she is not. Every child should have that.
And you're a county healthcare professional. So from a healthcare perspective, why is it important, if you think it is, for schools to acknowledge Trans Day of Visibility at a school?
Honestly, the health perspective about this is more along the lines of an individual feeling supported by a healthcare system that's aligned with what they need as an individual. And then from the school's perspective, it should be more about supporting all children to be able to express themselves however they want to, as long as it's appropriate for a school setting, I guess is what I'm saying. From a healthcare perspective, I think it's a physician's responsibility for their individual patient to make sure that whatever choices they make about their health are safe for them. And so the signs behind us are misleading in that we can support trans youth and allow them to make safe decisions for their body.
And talk about the sign right straight in front of us. First, do no harm. Transitioning is not suicide prevention. And that's like this person went over to be closer to the school.
Well, at first, I mean, I think it's definitely inappropriate that he is that close to the school. I think actually it might be illegal. And again, it's a misleading sign. It's absolutely a misleading sign. I don't even understand what the sign says, to be quite honest.
I mean, I think it's about, like, I think we hear about suicide ideation and suicide attempts by trans population to be higher.
Yes.
Than
yes.
The general population.
And I would say a sign like that would push them more towards that really unfortunate outcome as opposed to supporting them and providing them with ways to allow them to get help. If they are in a state, a mental state, where suicide is an option that they're actually considering, there's a whole different way to approach that. Transitioning might be part of what they need, but they also need help from support from a behavioral health, mental health perspective. And that's separate, although supportive of, it's a different, transitioning is not the final straw. Right? That's not what has led them to suicide. It's actually the opposite. It's the fact that they couldn't do it and safely feel supported that probably led them to the, you know, an obviously irreversible outcome.
Hi, I'm Christina Galicia.
And how are you connected to this school district?
My child is a second grader at LES.
What makes you show up across the street from school right as Transgender Day of Visibility is about to come?
As a clinical psychologist who supports teens in this area, there's nothing more important than them feeling seen, heard, and supported. And it's important to show up in all ways in the office and outside of it.
These folks who are having signs of the opposite messaging would say that having trans affirmative messaging harms or discriminates against straight children or cisgendered children. What do you say to her?
I say that while everyone's entitled to their own belief, they are not supporting scientific evidence that research has shown year after year that supporting people and whatever identity they are aligned with is absolutely suicide prevention, is absolutely mental health care.
Bree Sanchez is the president of the La Mirinda chapter of PFLAG.
And I want anyone who's passing by to know that there are a lot more voices who are a little quieter sometimes, mostly because they need to be for safety, but for other reasons that also are here and aren't going anywhere and are just trying to have love in their families and raise their kids and go to school and do all those things.
And you have kids here?
I don't have kids at LES. I have kids in AUHSD. I'm from La Mirinda. In fact, I'm the president of the PEEP chapter of PFLAG La Mirinda, which is, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's...
Go ahead, tell us.
Okay.
PFLAG La Mirinda.
So PFLAG La Mirinda is started in 2019, and we're a group of parents and friends and allies of and LGBTQ people who are really just trying to create a more supportive community for everyone, especially our LGBTQ loved ones.
And how did you personally get invested in the issue? Family, community, just wanting to be an ally? What was
Yeah,
it
for sure. Well, I think I've been an ally since I was old enough to go to LES. It's just, you know, I have a lot of LGBTQ people in my life who I care about tremendously. And I was aware of things that were happening that were harming them. And so together with a group of other parents, we came together and decided to create this group.
Those were the voices of allies, as well as parents, community members, and members of the LGBTQIA community standing in front of Lafayette Elementary School in anticipation of Transgender Day of Visibility. If this piece has inspired you to become an ally and you're not sure how to begin your allyship journey, start by finding some common ground with a transgender person. For example, if you're a parent, 19% of trans adults are also parents. Close to 100% of trans people likely have hobbies and dreams and eat meals on a regular basis. So consider having lunch sometime or going to coffee. And as Orson Scott Card once said, when you really know somebody, you can't hate them. Or maybe it's just that you can't really know them until you stop hating them. And if for now you're looking for a smaller way to start being an ally, do your best to simply use people's preferred pronouns. If you're unsure of how somebody identifies, you can invite them to share or simply use gender-neutral language. When you make a mistake, simply correct it and move on. And last and most importantly, remember to always give each other grace.